Welcome to the Better Brave podcast, where you get to hear unique stories from guests like you who choose to live bravely outside of their comfort zones. I'm Candace Dudley, your host, former teacher turned online business mentor and podcaster. This podcast is for you if you're committed to living life on purpose, no more following the rules of society. Go hit the follow button if you haven't yet and tune in every Tuesday for a new episode.
Welcome back, everybody. I have a special local guest, Annie Jurens. After being a stay-at-home mom for 5 years, Annie was ready to go back to work. But having two parents with full-time, inflexible jobs while also having three small kids didn't seem feasible. So instead, Annie and her husband, Seth, worked on building their business. They are so happy to live in the small town of Plainview, Minnesota, but wanted to bring something it was missing. So in 2022, they launched Refill Goods, a low-waste general store focused on sustainability and community connections. Welcome to the show and tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you go from being a stay-at-home mom to opening this store?
Hey, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. We have three small kids and then we did foster care for a season. So we actually had seven kids, six and under for a season, a 6, 5, 4, 3, 2 and twin 1 year olds. We just went all out. And then once that was done and once we were kind of recovered from that, it was like, okay, well, what next? We're kind of go big or go home people, I guess. We were like, okay, I'm ready to go back to work. I'm ready to do something. I've been home. I've done that. I was good at that. I'm ready to do something else now. So we started in 2022. We basically I just kind of typed up a summary of what we were thinking. We've always talked about how we like being a place where people can come and meet. We just really like the idea of being a third space and see how much value those types of spaces just bring to communities and to people. So we've always wanted to do something. So we said, okay, well, instead of looking for a normal job, let's just start working on this thing that we've been talking about. I started with just kind of typing up a page of this is what I'm thinking. I actually, once we started thinking about it, like the day after, I got a phone call from somebody who worked from the city who was like, hey, do you want to meet the mayor tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, sure. That sounds great. So I ended up bringing my idea on that paper to this guy who worked for the city and the mayor and just said, is something like this already happening and I'm not seeing it? They said, no, there's nothing like this happening. Go for it. So we just started working on it. That was 2022 in the summer. And we have just continued to work on it and figure it out.
That's awesome. So we're from the same hometown, local area. I'm from Elgin, which is in the school district now that you're living in Plainview. And we were chatting that we feel like we should know each other, but we don't, but we know a lot of the same people. But I do remember following along with the store's page. Now, tell me if I'm wrong. Did you also not just have to make a plan for the store and launch it, but when you bought the building, did you have to do a bunch of renovations and all of that piece too? What was that like?
We wanted to be in Plainview because we really like the walkability of this town. We went from living in St. Paul to Canada, a very rural part of Canada. Like my mailbox was 15 miles away. Gosh. Kilometers away. But I found like a happy medium here in Plainview. I really like that it's a small town and a very walkable small town, that my kids can walk from school, that there's a post office and a grocery store and a pharmacy, all these things that I need on a daily basis. So we've really enjoyed being here. So we wanted our shop to be here. One thing we learned is that we just don't want to commute anymore if we don't have to. When we were looking for commercial space in Plainview, we just weren't finding anything. So we started in the back of somebody else's space at about 100 square feet of space, which is not very big. So people would be right. Like, is this a closet? Is this an office? And we're like, hey, it's a shop. We're just figuring it out. So we started there from like September through the beginning of the next year. And then we didn't find commercial space, but we found a different house for our family. So we moved two blocks down and then worked with the city to rezone the house we were living in to transitional, which means it could go back to being a house or it could be a commercial space. So then we were working on transforming this from a house into a shop, but we are looking at moving again here soon. So there'll be even more renovations in our future.
Exciting. It sounds like you and your family did a lot of prioritizing is the word I like to use, where you decided what was important for your family. What I'm hearing is a flexible schedule was super important to you guys. The walkability of the small town town and not having to commute was important. So tell me, how do you use your family's priorities and values to help drive decisions in your business?
That's probably our main driving force of our business. When we were living in St. Paul and my husband and I were both working full-time, we, you know, we're just driving around. We had two kids in daycare, toddlers. We're just like, you know, it's about time for one of us to stay home with our kiddos. And then we thought, well, it's probably me. I'm going to stay home with the kids. And then it was like, well, my job was what was tying us to the cities. So maybe we'll go do something else. So we moved to Canada and we're like, well, we may not be here for a long time, but I think it'll help us figure out where we want to go as our small family. So for about a year and a half, we were up there and I think it really did help and didn't want to commute, that we wanted to be able to spend time with our kids and that we wanted to set up a life that we really enjoyed and working towards our goals and not somebody else's. So really we did the prioritizing. As you said, we sat down and we thought, okay, what kind of salary are we going to need? What kind of income are we going to need to live the life that we want? So I really did. I sat down, thought about what would it look like to have somebody come help clean our house, you know, occasionally. What's that budget? I looked at all the numbers first. So what does it actually cost to go on these vacations every so often, and looked at the salary that would work for us. And then that's what we're working towards. But as I said, and anybody who knows who has small kids, it's just having a normal 9-to-5, two people with a normal 9-to-5 just did not seem feasible at all. I mean, until recently, I had my kids in full-time school and full-time daycare, and just looking at how many times either daycare was canceled or the kids weren't in school or it's an early close or somebody's sick or we have a dentist appointment. The number, I don't know how anybody of two inflexible jobs is making it work with young kids. I mean, I think there's a lot of relying on grandparents and other things, but it's really scrambling. And that's one of my side projects, is trying to figure out how we can get more daycare in this area, because it's just such a huge thing. Nobody else is working on it. So I've decided, well, I'm going to start working on it. So
do you need, and you're like, okay, I can solve this.
The problem is that people are like, oh, so you want to run a daycare? And I'm like, no, I don't. I did my time with the littles and it's great. I don't want to run it. I just want there to be more options. I want women to be able to work if they want to and if they need to. And I want them to be able to do that and know that their kids are in a safe space and that they don't have to worry about it.
I have three young kids myself, and my husband and I were both teachers, and I've been out of the classroom now for 2 years. But I look back at those times and think, I don't know how we survived those years, because it's so much easier having at least one of us with a flexible job. Literally got a call the other day. Oh, 1:15. Your kid's got a slight fever. You need to come get her. Okay, I'm there in 2 minutes flat. We live by the school. That just wouldn't have happened before. You had to make sub plans. I had to find you a sub before, and she would have been sitting there in the nurse's office miserable. So it made me realize we have a choice in creating this. Well, that's just how it is. So you don't have a choice. No, we actually do. We have free will and we can choose something differently. Being an entrepreneurship, there's a steep learning curve. I wonder what you wish you would have known when starting a business that you know now that you can build a tee on for other people who might be in the beginning stages.
I would love to. Three things that come to mind. The first thing is that nobody gives grants or loans unless you've been in your business for like 2 years and have the data. When I was starting, I was like, maybe, you know, I will apply for this thing with this nonprofit and like a young entrepreneur and da 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 da. And I spent a lot of my time trying to apply for things that I'm glad that I didn't get at the time, because my business plan has changed so much in the last 2 years anyways. But I just wish I would have known going into it. Don't waste your time until you have 2 years of data. And also with that, what I try to tell people is, if you want to be doing something someday, start now, because you're, as you said, it is a steep learning curve. There's just so much to learn. There's so much to research. There's so much to learn looking at other businesses in the area and how you want to do it and how you're coming up with the business plan. So if you want to do it someday, start now. So that's number one. Number two is that inventory is a beast that I was not expecting. I don't have a background in inventory stuff. Like, I also have an education degree and was doing that at some point. So this is all very new to me. And keeping track of inventory, we're online and in store. So, you know, you want to have your inventory accurate. because someone buys something online, but then somebody buys it in store and that's the last one, then you just have to do a lot of apologizing. And I just like wasn't ready for it. There was a time that we were posting all of the used books we have online, but the amount of time it takes to take those pictures and get them uploaded, and then when they sell, then delete, the amount of money we were making from each of those books was totally not worth it. And I spent so much time doing that. So figuring out what actually is making money or going to make money and invest your time in that. The best part for me has been all about making connections, meeting people, asking questions. In the last 2 years, it's basically been trying to talk to as many people as I can about as many things as I can. So some of that has been through the Small Business Development Center or through SMIF or some of these other nonprofits around here. But some of it has also been going to different stores like mine and being like, hey, we're far enough away from each other. Where do you source some of your inventory from? Or we work with a lot of local artists and makers too. So some of it is just going around and meeting people and then they can sign with us. But I've been asking a lot of questions and trying to learn as much as I can. And it'll serve me well. I went into this knowing it's probably going to take at least 5 years to make a profit or feel like we know what we're doing. So I'm only a year and a half into 5 years. So I think it will all pay off eventually. But, you know, I guess check back in 3.5 more years.
I mean, but you can't get there without being at the beginning. And some people don't even let themselves be that newbie, be that rookie, because they're afraid that they don't know everything. And so they might mess up. But the beauty is we all mess up and the mistakes are what we learn the most from. It speeds up our learning so fast when those things happen because now you know for sure what you're not going to do next time. I think that's great. And I can't wait to watch this all unfold. There's a couple other things that I like what you're saying. One is it's all figure outable. It is all figure outable.
Yes.
You weren't an entrepreneur to start with. Neither was I, but it's all figure outable. And yes, the websites, all the little pieces, the inventory, like learning a completely new skill, but also trust yourself to know that we all have the ability to figure it out. We've gotten this far in life and we've figured everything out prior. So who's to say we're not going to do it in this setting too?
Definitely. It's been fun to learn that nobody knows everything. So another reason I'm happy to be in a small town is I think I have a little bit more audacity. I guess it's like less intimidating. You know, my kids were going to meet the mayor and they were like, the mayor. And I was like, that's somebody your dad went to high school with. Like, it's not, it's like just not as intimidating. So to start some of the stuff, I'm like, oh, I wonder what city code is about this thing. And I can ask people from the city and they're like, we don't really know. Let's go look it up. You know, like nobody knows everything. You just have to be curious and start looking for the answers. But yeah, the imposter syndrome is for sure real. But then you can continue to meet people and be like, oh, you're not better than I am. I'm smart and you're not better than I am. And we can do this and I can do this. Okay. All right.
I've had, my podcast is 3 years old now. So I've had, I don't even know how many guests, dozens and dozens and dozens of entrepreneurs. And I kid you not, not one person has ever gotten on here, no matter how far they've been in business and been like, I now feel like I have it all together. I know everything. Everybody says, yeah, imposter syndrome comes in once in a while, but you just have to keep moving through it and you take action anyways. And it's super comforting, I think, for people to hear that we all go through it, because when you just watch the highlight reel on social media, we can assume that we just have it all together and everybody's super confident. And that's just not the case. The other thing I liked what you said earlier was if you want to do it someday, you need to start today, or it'd benefit you to start today. I guess you don't need to. You can do whatever you want. But I love that because I think people discount small actions that are taken in the beginning. They think, well, Googling for something for 10 minutes is no big deal, but that is a step towards your goals. And those things repeated over time get you to a completely different space.
Definitely. I really like goal setting or thinking about what do I want? What do I want to get to someday? And then breaking that up into manageable steps, you know, smaller steps and smaller steps. Sounds silly when you say it, but getting your Pinterest board ready. Yeah. What do I want it to look like? What do I want it to be? You know, is easy to do while watching TV after putting the kids to bed, looking into that or looking into what other shops in the area are like mine. I want to stock this. Where do they get it from? And how do they source it? And who's some wholesalers that I could use? Or who are my dream people to work with someday? There's a lot of that sort of stuff that doesn't feel like work, but it is. Being curious and following what interests you, because hopefully you'll end up with something that you work a lot at, but it doesn't feel so much as work because you're doing something you really enjoy. I mean, that's the goal.
Because it's so aligned. For me, when things things are so aligned, it never feels like work, even though it truly is. And that's the best kind, when you just lose track of time because you're just enjoying what you're doing. And to not be afraid to ask questions. I feel like that's what I'm hearing you say a lot too. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Most people are willing and wanting to help others. And the people that, like you and I, who are trying to spread great messages, and the people in our communities, we know that there's abundance for everybody, and we all rise when we all rise. So there's room for all of us. The knowledge we have doesn't need to be gatekept and kept secret, because it's benefiting all of us to do great things. Tell me about your store now. It's very unique in that it is a low waste store. What does that mean? And how did you come up with that?
We are aiming to be like a bulk food store. So we'll have flour, sugar, spices. There's a place that we lived near when we were in Canada that we really loved that was that. So you can bring in your containers, get them filled up. So then you're not paying for all the packaging. Packaging isn't being shipped all around the world. We're just trying to reduce plastic waste and be kind of a hub for sustainability in our area. So a lot of the stuff you find in our shop is either made out of wood or bamboo, or can be reused, is plastic free. And then we like to work with local artists and makers. One of the stores we're kind of like is up in the cities. There's Tear Market. They have a couple of locations up there and it's really beautiful. So we're kind of like that. But then there's also a urban farm store, Eggplant, up there that they have chickens and they have seeds and that sort of stuff. So we're kind of that as well, mixed with a used bookstore. So we are quite a few different things. But then we work with local artists and makers. So we have locally made earrings and beeswax wraps and herb strippers and macrame and magnets and all sorts of things. So lots of things around here. And we're going to work on even some of the things that we have. I'm trying to replace them. My goal is to replace 10 things in the shop with more locally made versions this year. So I'll be working on that. We just try and source from either women-owned businesses or Minnesota businesses. Just really put the things that we care about kind of at the forefront of when we are making these decisions. Yeah, there's nothing really like us around. So that's great. It's really, I keep saying I started my shop just to help find friends in the area, because moving to a small town, having small kids, then doing foster care and a global pandemic, I didn't get to meet very many people for a few years. So starting the shop to make friends, and it's working, and people know where to find me now. My hours are consistent. I usually have several people a day just come in and sit and chat to me about all sorts of things happening in the community or brainstorming about what can we do next. So it's all been really fun for me.
I love all of the forward thinking that it sounds like is going into your space. And what a great opportunity that you're giving the people that are consigning and wholesaling locally in your space. Like I said, when someone rises up, they bring other people with them. And that is really a movement. And I love it. We mentioned a little bit earlier about creating this store was to give flexibility and different freedoms to your family. What advice would you have for someone who is in entrepreneurship about how to run their business so that it is flexible and that it does allow them to spend their time with their family or wherever their priorities lie? How could someone start to create that for themselves?
I have to tell you about the brand new Align Business Collective, led by Andrea Hansen, Brittany Williams, and myself, Candace Dudley, three entrepreneurs who have taken the leap, left their 9-to-5 jobs, and are multi-passionate business owners. We understand your struggles. We have been in your shoes and felt that tug in our hearts, knowing we are made for something bigger. Those racing thoughts that keep you up at night, that feeling in your heart that tells you it's time to break up with your 9-to-5 job, we know it too. Join us to discover a community that blends empowerment, education, and camaraderie for female entrepreneurs like you. Our collective offers an array of exclusive benefits designed to elevate your business journey and foster personal growth. We know that hiring a business coach can sometimes feel impossible when you're starting out, which is why we created this collective. Whether you are just starting to realize that you have the potential to create something great, or already in the process of creating an exit plan to leave your 9-to-5, or have already taken the brave and bold leap to become an entrepreneur, this is the community that you have been dreaming of. No matter what stage you are at, we are here to support you. To find out more, join our mailing list. Head to the show notes for the link. Now back to the show.
For us, it's looking at being able to be in a space that our kids can be with us. So seeing what that looks like and kind of letting our customers and the other people we work with just know that our kids are a big part of this. They will be with us. You will see that, you know, we try to not have them trip you when you walk in the door, but you can see their fingerprints. You can see the toys they pulled out. So for us in this space is also telling people that kids are welcome here, and we do have toys and stuff stuff. Anybody walks in with a kid, I'm just like, you know, there are toys in the back and like, feel free to play with any of them that you want and the books and stuff back there. Yeah. So please do that. Part of this is that I want my kids to see that their mom can do whatever she wants to do. I went to school for teaching, but I don't think I ever really wanted to be a teacher. I thought the only women I knew, they were either stay-at-home moms or they were teachers or mm-hmm. they were nurses. And I was like, well, I don't want to be a nurse, so I guess I'm going to be a teacher. It's kind of how it ended up. I just want my kids to see that, you know, there are many options. I'm trying to expose other people to the fact that kids exist. It's not like everybody goes to a 9-to-5 and there are no children allowed and da-da-da-da. My kids have been with me to city council meetings, to stuff with the SBDC things. My 7-year-old is like, oh, can I come to this meeting? Can I go to this meeting? If it'll work, I like to bring them with just so they can see those things happening. So they can see even parts about running the store, but then see those other things. There's no reason kids can't be in those spaces. It just people are expecting stay-at-home moms or people with kids to just stay home and not contribute to society until they're older. I don't know. I don't know what the plan is here. So I just really trying to make them visible and in what we're doing. And really for us, a big part of our brand is that we are a family run business. And like, mm-hmm. we're just not hiding that at all. It's just out there. It's part of who we are. It's part of what makes us different. And this last week, my 8-year-old, 9-year-old just had a birthday party. He has been inviting the whole town to his birthday party for years now, and we really haven't done anything. So we decided to have a party for him at the shop, an open house. We're going to have cake, come and say hi and happy birthday. And he wanted to invite all the dogs in the neighborhood. So we invited I just put it out there on social media. I put it in the paper so we could see himself in the paper. Good dogs and good humans invited to this open house. Okay. And it was at the shop, which was on purpose, because a lot of people hadn't been in here before. Last Friday, we had so many dogs and so many people in the shop. And I even emailed the news. It was like, hey, we're having this if you want to come. And they did. So cool. A news reporter came and interviewed my son, who wants to be famous, wants to be a celebrity. So, I mean, he just took that microphone and just went, oh man, I was dying. It was so funny that it all just worked out. I invited 3 news publications. I invited 4, and 3 of them came and had the best time. So when it comes to like marketing and stuff, I've tried before being like, here is this product, you should get it. It's more authentic to me to be like, hey, we're doing this cool thing. Come join us.
Well, I think it just goes to show like, there is no right or wrong way to do things. And mm-hmm. how awesome is that? And what a great experience and connections that I'm sure people made. And you just don't even know the ripple effect of who met who that day and now what's happening from that. So really a lot of awesomeness and changing the narrative type things happening in your space. I love it. We mentioned a little bit ago about imposter syndrome and those tough mindset days. When the going gets tough and your mindset tanks or there's a setback, what do you do and how do you handle that?
Part of it is just take a break. Yeah. Part of it is just try and shut my brain off for a little bit. Like yesterday, I was just, things just feel heavier today and harder today. And then it's just like, well, maybe I just need to step away from my computer, do a few things. I'm a big fan of just taking naps when I can. Yeah. But naps or other things that I know will get my mental health into a better state. But part of it is just being my own boss. I get to do that. I don't have to answer to people about that when I just need to take a break or mm-hmm. I know myself and that I will try and have meetings at night and just, nope, my brain is going all day long. And so at about 6 o'clock, it is done for the day. So please don't try and talk to me about other businessy things or work things. I am done for the day. So just really knowing how I operate and what I need in order to keep going. It has helped for me to set up my days a little bit more of, okay, what are the different things I need to focus on? So one day is like financial stuff. One day is inventory stuff. One day is marketing. And then I have a catch-up day and then project days. Like that's kind of how I try and coordinate. So if I'm getting kind of stuck or not sure what I want to work on next, I look at, okay, what day of the week is it? said, okay, I should do all of my financial stuff today or whatever. I should probably mention, going back to your question about, you know, setting it up for something that works for your family. So like my shop is open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday all day. And then Saturday, part of the day, we're not open at all on Sundays. We just stay home. And then Monday is my day to clean the whole house. Yeah. And then Tuesday is my day to do errands and stuff. So that's what works for me. And just kind of having that routine and schedule is great. But just knowing that, yeah, I need to schedule that stuff in. I need to have it to, even though it's not my favorite, it still needs to be done. And I can't afford to pay somebody else to do it yet. So having a scheduled day, that's not just my only day off, that I am still have to do all the house stuff.
Keyword there, yet. It's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like just knowing yourself and then honoring how you function as a human by setting boundaries and building routines that will honor and fit with that. So as we wrap up here, my last question that I like to ask everybody is, what message would you like the listeners to take away today if they remember nothing else?
Nobody's better than you. You're great. The fact that you're thinking about doing something cool or wanting a better life for yourself, for your family, that's amazing. And just pursue that. Develop what you need to do to get that confidence, because at every turn, there's going to be somebody who says no to your idea or doesn't approve your grant or whatever. But there's also going to be people who say yes, and it's going to be surprising. And building the life that you want creates a ripple effect, and other people see it and they're like, I want that too. I want to better my community. I want to be doing that. And it's really fun to start collecting people who are interested in the same thing and are willing to work to get it. But cultivating the mindset of, what else can we do instead? Or it's not because I'm bad or dumb or not smart enough. It's just, okay, how can we do this differently? Or it's not me, it's the systems that are set up.
Where can people connect with you? And I know you have a little treat for the listeners. So tell us about where we can find you.
Our shop is online at www.refillgoods.shop. So we have most of our inventory online. Anything that's not like secondhand or made by our consigners, for the most part, those aren't online anymore. Those are in shop, but we are online there. We are online on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok, on YouTube. It's all at Refill Goods. So you can find us there. You can also find us in Plainview, Minnesota. We are in a shop, in a house that we converted into a shop. For your listeners, I have a discount for $5 off your order, either online or in store, with the code BETTERBRAVE. Brave, just in all caps. You get $5 off. There's also free shipping over $50. We're open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and then Saturday from 10 to 3.
So fun. I will link all that in the show notes. And thank you so much for being on.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for making another one of my goals for the year. I can cross it off my list.
So fun.
Hey, thanks for being here. I love being able to highlight entrepreneurial journeys because no two are the same. To grab my free sales page planner or to book a discovery call with me, head to the show notes. Finally, please leave a quick review so I can continue this work. See you next week.